Welcome to the Property Magic Podcast. My name is Simon Zucci, and in this podcast, I'm going to deep dive into the property investing strategies and investor mindset from my book, Property Magic. I will also share real estate investing hints, tips, and tricks, which I normally only share on my Property Mastermind Mentorship. Hello and welcome to episode number 238 of the Property Magic Podcast. In this episode, I'm going to share with you the five big mistakes people make with HMO properties and how you can avoid those expensive mistakes. Why HMOs? Well, HMOs, houses of multiple occupation, is probably one of the fastest strategies for you to replace your income. It's one of the most popular strategies we teach on our mastermind program because many people have used it to replace their income in sometimes less than 12 months. And that's a big claim, but we have people doing it every single year. Now, I think a lot of people are put off doing HMOs because they don't really understand them. So part of the purpose of this podcast is to help you understand and overcome some of the challenges that might be getting in your way. The first mistake that people make when thinking about HMOs is they think, oh, you mean student property? Because students definitely are one of the four types of tenants that live in HMOs. But many people, including many student HMO landlords, don't realize there are other groups of tenants. So not only do you have university students, you have young professionals. Now, these are people who've been to university, they've lived in a shared house before, and when they start their career, rather than living on their own in an apartment, which can be quite expensive, they rather live in a shared house. Now, this might be because they moved to a new city, they don't know people, and it's a great way to have an instant social life, but also it's more cost effective than living on your own in an apartment where you also need to pay the bills as well as the rent. Whereas in an HMO, normally all the bills are included within the rent. So don't make that mistake thinking it's just students. Young professionals are my main group of people who I rent to HMOs. Now, the other third type is people who are working. People who work in shops, factory, offices, they've got a job. They haven't necessarily been to university. Nothing wrong with that, of course. It just means maybe they haven't lived in a shared house before. They were living with mum and dad and they didn't want to live there anymore, or mum and dad didn't want them to live there anymore. So moving into a shared house is the first step for many people when leaving home. The fourth group of tenants is people who are on benefits. Now, I have tenants in my single let properties and they're great. They live there for a long time, but I don't have tenants in multi-lets because it can be a lot of work. Tenants who are on benefits sometimes have challenges and it's a lot of work for you to look after. The only way you should do that, in my opinion, which is what many of my students do, is they take an HMO, they rent it to a charity who specializes in supporting people who have special needs. It could be people who have learning difficulties. It could be people who are coming out of prison and need readjusting, or people from the military. Could be single mothers, could be drug users, people who need special support, and the council pay more money for that. So the charity can rent the property off you at full market rent. They cover all the bills. And as well as making really good money from this, you're actually helping society to provide much needed accommodation. So that can be a very worthy way of renting your property out. So that's the first big mistake people make. They assume you're talking about student property when you talk about HMOs. The second big mistake that people make is they think that HMOs are only for experienced investors. Now, I would agree that HMOs is a more advanced strategy, and most people start with single lets. But that's a big mistake, because I think, why would you tie up all your money in a single let property that's not going to give you very much profit, where in reality, you could put it into an HMO once you know what to do, of course, and make maybe five times the rental profit. Is it more work with an HMO? Well, an HMO is more work than one single let property, but I don't think that's a fair comparison. Given the income you can make might be, or the profit you can make rather, might be five times as much from an HMO than a single let, you should really compare five single lets to one HMO. And in that case, I'd argue that actually one HMO, if you have good systems, is probably less work to manage. And also, you should do what I do, which is I give the properties to other people to manage for me. So it's no extra hassle to me at all, because I just don't deal or speak to tenants. So don't think you have to be an experienced investor to get into HMOs. When you know what you're doing, your first property could absolutely be a highly profitable HMO.
Now, the next problem, the next challenge that stops people doing HMOs is they think, well, don't you need lots of money to do HMOs? And if you're buying a house, stripping it back to bricks and doing a big refurb, yes, there's lots of money involved. But it doesn't have to be your money. You see, if you've got a profitable property, that's a great way to attract other people who might want to get a better return on their money. So it doesn't have to be your money going into that HMO. It could be a private loan. It could be a joint venture where you're helping someone else make money whilst you're making money as well. And there are some strategies that you can use with HMOs where you don't even need to put a lot of money in, such as rent to rent, where you rent off a landlord who's struggling to rent it out and you do it properly, or purchase these options, which is very similar, but you also have the right to buy the property in the future if you want to. Both these strategies, rent to rent and purchase options, are great ways of controlling property that you don't own, which means you don't need to put a big deposit in, you don't need to get a mortgage, but you can benefit from significant cash flow. A good HMO should make you at least £1,000 profit per month after all expenses. So those are the first three mistakes. The fourth mistake people make when investing in HMOs is they think they won't work in their area because maybe there's an oversupply of HMOs already in that area. Well, the reality is there is an oversupply of HMOs in most areas. However, I'd like to make an important distinction here for you. There is an oversupply of very average HMOs. If you go onto spareroom.co.uk, which is the main website that landlords use to advertise their student properties, you'll see in most cities and towns there are lots of HMOs available, but most of them are not very good accommodation. So the huge mistake people make when doing HMOs is they think, I'm just going to have an average HMO like all the other HMOs. And that's a big mistake, because if there's an oversupply, what happens is most landlords, in order to get tenants in, they just reduce their rents to become more competitive. And that means you might attract tenants who are not so good. What you should be doing is, rather than competing on price, you should compete on quality. You only want to do high-end co-living properties. These look fantastic, they're very functional, and when people get into them, they're not just buying a room and a house. They feel like they're coming into a community of like-minded people who often cook together, eat together, and they want to stay in that community. So not only do you attract a better type of tenant, not only do they pay more rent, but also they tend to stay longer, which means you have lower void periods. So you make far more money from a high-end co-living HMO than an average HMO. And I don't think you should do average HMOs. And the final mistake, number five, and this is a huge mistake and probably the biggest mistake, and that is that many people just don't get round to doing HMOs. And maybe it's because it's a lack of knowledge. Maybe it's the fear of the unknown. Maybe it's confusion around things like planning and licensing, and all seems a bit too complicated. But the reality is, when you know how to do HMOs, when you've had some training on HMOs, actually, they're very straightforward. I wouldn't say they're easy, because easy suggests there's no effort. There's definitely time and effort required. But I promise you, when you do this correctly, it's going to be one of the best things you've ever done. I wish I had known this when I started investing. In fact, it was only after about 10 years of investing in 2005, I started in 1995, I looked back over my portfolio. And at that time, I only had one HMO. It was actually my first house that, when I moved out of it in 1998, I turned it into a three-bed student HMO. And all the other properties I bought, for some reason, were just single-let properties. And I didn't really realize that. Only when I looked back, I thought, wow, that first house actually makes the most money. So in 2005, I decided to deliberately buy properties that I could add value to, refinance, take all my money out, and rent out as an HMO. And that's how I rapidly built my HMO portfolio. But I didn't know what I didn't know. And most investors don't know what they don't know. They hold themselves back because of the myths about HMOs, because of concern. But if you learn what to do, there's nothing better, in my humble opinion. So I've actually got some online training that I'd love you to come and participate in. It's 90 minutes. It's all about HMOs, and it will bust many of the myths and things that might have been holding you back and explain how you can move forward and use these very profitable strategies as part of your property investing portfolio. So if you go to www.hmomasterclass.co.uk, you can register and join me on that training. And also, you'll get access to a three-part mini video series that will fill in lots of the blanks for you about HMOs and really give you a good foundational knowledge. That's all completely free of charge. My gift to you as being one of my listeners on the podcast. So go to www.hmomasterclass.co.uk and register right now to make sure you don't miss that training. When you understand how powerful HMOs can be for you, you would have wished you'd been doing it years ago. And if you're already doing HMOs, but you're not getting the kind of profit you should do, I also encourage you to come and listen to the training, because maybe there are things that you are not doing correctly. So there are certain things you need to do in a certain order to make sure you're maximizing the revenue and profit from your HMO. So I explain that in the online training and the three-part mini series. I do hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I hope it's demystified HMOs a little bit for you. And I really would encourage you to look into them and see how you can use them in your property investing portfolio. As ever, I encourage you to invest with knowledge, invest with skill.
Thanks for listening to the Property Magic Podcast. To get this week's show notes, please visit www.propertymagicbook.co.uk/podcast. You can contact me via LinkedIn, you can follow me on social media, and I highly recommend you subscribe to my YouTube channel to watch loads of valuable property trading for free. All of the details are available in the show notes. Until next time, invest with knowledge, invest with skill.